Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Jeff Hawkins, Rob McCarron here. Shake Them Ropes. We are headed to the end of January. We got two big WWE events coming up for the rest of the month. Of course, culminating with the Royal Rumble at the end of January. I will tell you what, Jeff Hawkins, have you been seeing pictures, have you been seeing images from Saudi Arabia, from Riyadh, of the arena, of the outdoor setup of this Royal Rumble, of the structure being built specifically for this event?
I saw some early pics. I haven't been keeping up with it, though.
They haven't gotten that much better. I will tell you what, I am one, Jeff, who gets very, very apprehensive, could be the word.
Okay.
When there's anything temporary in like seating, whether it's a large event, a small event, if they're putting up temporary bleachers, I'm like, I ain't sitting in those. If they're putting up temporary anything, a temporary stage that's flat, but then there's 800 people on it, I'm like, I'm going to be the first person to step aside, not go on this stage. I'm not a big fan of temporary seating. I have no justifiable reason for this fear. I'm just fearful of it. This entire arena looks like temporary seating.
Okay. No, I can see your fear because it sucks. Because I remember I went to WrestleMania at the Superdome with and I sat next to a now prominent member of AEW's front office. And it was on those risers. But it had chairs on the risers and stuff like that, and it was on the field level as opposed to the actual stadium seating.
Oh yeah. I did that at WrestleMania Detroit also. I actually did. I was on the it was technically on the field. It was the temporary risers that were on the field. Pretty far back. But I mean it was those temporary risers. I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe the very, very large indoor football stadiums, I just have a little bit more trust for that. But the colleges that do it, some of that when you go to semi-pro, like we've had somewhat around here where they're temporary stadiums for soccer and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm gonna worry about this. And when the World Cup, when they were building soccer stadiums in Brazil and Qatar for the World Cup, and just hearing all the reports about how the labor's going and how time crunched everything was. This is kind of a little bit of that about the time crunch.
You're going to absolutely hate the 2028 Olympics here in Los Angeles.
Oh,
then,
yeah. No, I
think that's
well,
good.
I ain't going to go. I will watch
Neither
it on
am
TV.
I. I'm out.
I will watch it on TV and I will hope for the best. I don't know. Maybe it's just an irrational fear about the temporary seating, but there's been some pictures coming out. Hopefully everything goes well because the Royal Rumble is my favorite PLE, my favorite event of the year. Big Royal Rumble mark, I am.
Cool. I like it. I think it might be my favorite now too. Now that they've ruined War Games.
Overtaking what? War Games?
I used to really like War Games and now I just can't.
Back in the day when Kurt Hennig was slamming cage doors on Ric Flair.
You know, but I never
Further
really got
back than that.
I never got really attached to any single event, to be honest with you.
I'm a big fan of the Royal Rumble match. I like, you know, every once in a while, the surprises, the things you don't quite expect, you know, you go in with like three or four guys who could win, but no one ever really knows. I think there was only one year, and it was recently, where everyone knew that Cody Rhodes was going to win that that first one, and probably the second one too, honestly. But there's always like one guy. Well, maybe they could go with CM Punk instead, and Cody Rhodes will have to win it through, you know, Backlash or the whatever the February pay-per-view ends up being nowadays. It's okay. Elimination Chamber. But it's like there's always that, you know, oh, John Cena is going to win this year for sure. Well, no, Batista will win and John Cena will go a different route because there's two different ways to go about it. I just that unpredictability of who actually will reign supreme on top. No one thought last year Jey Uso was winning.
No, but let me ask you this, because I'm an old head and you're getting to be an old head.
Ooh, yeah, it hurts. Like, no, it physically hurts.
Did the making it the main event at WrestleMania hurt the unpredictability and hurt your interest in it? Because it did for me for a little bit.
The thing is, my entire lifetime remembers it.
Oh, it has been? Okay.
The match to get you to the World Championship at WrestleMania. Like, the first Royal Rumble I can remember.
God, I'm old. Oh.
Yeah, no, you are. And it's not like it's been around forever, but like I have no recollection of the early 90s or late 80s. I mean,
okay.
the first Royal Rumble I kind of remember is the first Royal Rumble win by Steve Austin. That's kind of it.
Okay, I believe it was an Attitude Era thing.
Oh, it was absolutely an Attitude Era thing. Okay. Steve Austin won. He went on to not even like the Shawn Michaels match at WrestleMania. Like I'm talking like 99 against The Rock.
Yeah.
Like those 98, 99 Royal Rumbles were basically my first recollections. Cause again, when I first got into wrestling in the mid to late 90s, it was WCW. I was a WCW guy. I wasn't watching WWF until, you know, big main eventers jumped over like Jeff Jarrett.
So you were a big World War III guy. That was your PLA.
I loved World War III. I thought World War III was awesome. I mean, it was kind of lame how everyone gets in there and it's El Dandy followed by Seacoses and then, oh, the Giant right behind him, but they're all walking in together.
Yeah, might be Battle Bowl. I really enjoyed the Battle Bowl concept at one time.
Well, I mean, yeah, everyone has their kind of thing. So World War III, the Battle Royals. I never got into War Games, though, even being a WCW guy. Like, War Games was always just like, it's kind of like some of these matches have been lately on Saturday Night's Main Event or some of the WWE pay-per-views. Definitely War Games now. I mean, it's the same criticism I have of War Games now. You're putting a bunch of main eventers in that match, but when the night is over, none of what we just saw was going to matter. Mm-hmm. None of it.
I agree. There's only been like three or four that have actually mattered.
Yeah, to long term or even short term, like, okay, because of War Games, we're going to do this. Like that doesn't happen necessarily these days. But big pay-per-view, we're coming up on it. We're a week away from the Royal Rumble. But first, we got to get through Saturday night's main event. There are big ramifications in the main event. You, of course, Drew McIntyre is the SmackDown World Champion. We're going to have Randy Orton going up against The Miz. Or not The Miz. Randy Orton going up against Damian Priest, Trick Williams, and Sami Zayn is in this match. This will get someone a world title shot against Drew McIntyre, a WWE Championship shot. What are we thinking? A day out from this pay-per-view now. Is it going to be Orton? Is it going to be Zayn? Or are they going to throw us for a loop with maybe a Priest or Williams and just get that title match kind of out of the way?
This is in Montreal, right? Saturday night's main event?
This is in Montreal, and then next week is Royal Rumble.
It's Zayn. It has to be Zayn, right?
I think it has to be Zayn. I do think it has to be Zayn. And then, I don't know, have they said when the world title match would actually take place? I think it's just for the number one contendership, right?
Right, they haven't said when it'll take place, but I would assume.
And Friday Night SmackDown is also going to be in Riyadh. They're doing SmackDown, and then they're doing the Royal Rumble the next night. I could see on that SmackDown, Sami Zayn coming out and saying, you know, Drew McIntyre, get ready, because tomorrow I take this title back to the United States. I take this title here in Saudi Arabia from you, and then I go on to WrestleMania, and then that's your big match at the Royal Rumble. It kind of gets the Sami Zayn title shot out of the way in theory. Who knows? Maybe he could win. I didn't really expect Drew McIntyre to win when he did. But yeah, very well could be at the Royal Rumble, because what do you do? What do you do if not? Do you put Sami Zayn in Chicago at Elimination Chamber in the title picture? Do you do it just on a SmackDown and make that a SmackDown main event? I could very easily see Zayn winning and immediately going for the title shot. Maybe even at Saturday night's main event. he will announce that it's going to be at the Royal Rumble, and you get some of those people to sign up for ESPN Unlimited that way.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, a Peacock-only event plugging people to sign up for ESPN.
Well, you got to nowadays because WWE's on five different channels and platforms, so you have to. I still actually cannot watch. I'm going to have to VPN it because I do not have ESPN Unlimited. I'm a YouTube TV subscriber, and it still does not work to authenticate ESPN Unlimited. So as of this moment, I am not able to watch the Royal Rumble. So hopefully something happens here in the next week, or I guess I'm going to have to VPN it.
I just got mine like a few weeks ago because DirecTV wasn't in the original group of people who could authenticate. Just DirecTV streaming.
I'm pretty sure that I can't yet. I guess I haven't tried in like 2 weeks. But let's see. I don't think it's still there. I think you cannot get YouTube TV and ESPN Unlimited quite yet. It's supposed to be. They made this deal like 3 months ago, and it was supposed to happen soon. I know a lot of people are up in arms because the Australian Open tennis tournament, they've put a lot of stuff behind that unlimited paywall that used to be on ESPN Plus. So you're seeing ESPN kind of move some of those things, because when ESPN Unlimited first started, the only thing that was exclusive to Unlimited was WWE. That was the only thing that was exclusive outside of, you know, the ability to watch ESPN without a cable TV provider. You could watch the main ESPN channels and whatnot. But outside of that, special events and special things, it's the Australian Open now. It's probably going to be something with the Masters. I can imagine the Masters coming up. They're going to put stuff behind the paywall.
Oh, yeah.
But ESPN right now has WWE behind that paywall, and I still cannot get it. So I'll have to figure something out, because 2 o'clock next Saturday, I need to be watching that Royal Rumble. I need to be seeing when and if Royce Kent, or whatever Powerhouse Hobbs' new name is going to be, will debut.
You think that's for Hobbs, the new trademark with,
I have no idea. I know, okay. I know speculation is happening, but, who knows? Maybe it's for a guy named Chris Irvin, coming in, and maybe they'll give him the Royce name. Maybe that Jericho name is too old and they need to,
It's Peyton Royce's new NXT name, probably.
I mean, maybe Ty Dillinger's new name. We'll see what happens with Hobbs, what happens with some of these new names. But I'm excited. This is like the reason I bring all this up is, yeah, Saturday night's main event is kind of a cool appetite for the Royal Rumble coming up next week. But like, this is my time, man. Royal Rumble the week before, I get hyped. It's a little weird that it's going to be at 2 o'clock on a Saturday, but I'll get over it.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling your energy. I'm feeling your vibe.
I'm excited. I'm hyped. I am ready for it. We're not going to preview anything Royal Rumble right now.
Okay.
Because who knows what's going to happen? We got to see what happens on Saturday night's main event.
You're out next week, right? So is that
maybe
in 2 weeks?
Maybe I'll record something and send it in. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I'm going to be out and resting and recuperating. But yeah, I'm excited for the Royal Rumble. Saturday night's main event, we have the tag titles too. We have Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez going up against Rhea and Io for the tag team titles of the women's division. In lieu of a full preview, because really I think we have that and the Cody Rhodes and Jacob Fatu match are our matches right now.
Right.
What do you expect of the tag titles? What do you expect out of Cody and Jacob?
I expect Io and Rhea to retain. Until there's a team that gets white hot, or until it's time to break up Rhea and Io, they're gonna keep those titles for a while.
Okay.
And then Jacob and Cody is gonna be some misunderstanding finish. Someone's gonna screw with that, and Fatu's gonna win for some reason. It might even be the NFTs or MFTs or whatever the heck they are.
It is strange because Drew McIntyre has like a direct relation to two of the matches on the show. Obviously the number one contenders match and kind of the Rhodes and Fatu. Can Drew McIntyre get involved? Who knows? I know Cody Rhodes right now is the betting favorite on most of the betting sites, but not by a large margin. He's not a large favorite. If Cody Rhodes loses against Jacob Fatu, he immediately shoots up as my like obvious Royal Rumble winner. Right. That's the Vince McMahon philosophy. That's what he used to do. Like have the guy lose the match before and then win the one that gets him back in the shape. Mm-hmm. If Rhodes wins, I think there's no way he's winning. the Royal Rumble. But Cody Rhodes is the slight favorite. The favorite right now on the betting sites to win the tag titles is Rhea and Io. They're actually the largest favorite of the three matches. And then the number one contenders match, the favorite is Sami Zayn by a good margin.
Yeah. Let me bring this up to you, because this is something I haven't heard anybody talk about yet. And I don't even know if it's real. I haven't asked anybody at the company or anything like that about this. But about this Adam Pearce story that continues to go, and we'll probably end up with him taking a spear of some kind from Bron Breakker. There's an NXT call-up that we haven't talked about possibly happening that might happen. And I don't know if it's this year or next or when it's planned to, but eventually Ava's going to get the call, right? Is this a way to possibly write him out and get Ava up there on the main roster to appease the board of directors member that happens to happens to be her father?
The board of directors member, by the way, that did not get that Oscar nomination that he thought he might get.
No.
Yeah, I wasn't that surprised, but I was
neither was I.
I was a little bit like, I mean, of all the hype that that movie was getting. Now, of course, this is like a big year. Like anyone who follows along movies or follows Hollywood, you probably know this. It's like apparently a giant year for some of the movies.
And it is. And
a lot of the movies too that are getting a lot of the acclaim are like box office draws and like mainstream movies, not just side movies. What was it? Sinners got the most nominations of any movie of all time.
Yes.
So it was just a rough year to be The Rock in the Smashing Machine. And
it was also released way too early for it. It really was. Yeah. I mean, if they wanted to do the awards treacle, you know, the pander bit, they should have done it a little bit later. But yeah, it didn't make any money at the box office.
That's going to be the struggle this year when there were so many successful movies. Like, I mean, the box office somewhat coming back. A lot of big ticket movies. It's been a struggle.
He's also not a good actor. Can we say this?
I mean, he's the same kind of in everything. He doesn't have a lot of range, but
no,
like, yeah, sometimes you find that role where it's like, okay, this guy was perfect for it. Now the guy doesn't have to necessarily do anything different than he's done in the past to be perfect for it. He's just perfect for it.
And there are times when actors will do these vanity projects for Oscar bait where the Academy will go, no, we're not falling for it this time. I think Will Smith's first one, the one about him having a baboon heart or something. I forgot what that one was, which was really his first foray into dramatic stuff. And also the one where he played the stockbroker that was living on the streets and eventually became a very, you know, with his son, and eventually became a successful trader at Goldman Sachs. That was another one. He finally got there on his third try, but you know, it's one of these things where the Academy doesn't like to feel duped. They don't like to feel like they've been played a lot of times. And so sometimes they just won't. We know you want the Oscar nomination or whatever, because that'll really solidify your legitimacy. But we're not going to give it to you. And actually, you know what? Looking at the nominations, there's no room for him. All five of those people that were nominated had probably better performances than he did.
Yeah. Speaking of the legends of the late 90s, early 2000s, which The Rock was as far as inside the ring, Steve Austin. Now, I totally let's get to Steve Austin. And then after that, I will maybe answer your question on Ava. But Steve Austin, this is my other part of why this time of year is my favorite, is the yearly rumors of will Steve Austin come back and do something are out and about. Now I don't believe that if Steve Austin were coming back to make an appearance, that it was going to be a wrestling related appearance. I think probably the wrestling is over. And if he was going to do something any bit physical, you would probably try to bring him back next year when WrestleMania is in Saudi Arabia. But is there anything to the news again that usually happens around now that Steve Austin and WWE are talking?
Sure. But it's not going to be that big. I mean, reading in attendance like he did last year at Mania. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow he's involved in this main event scene on Raw, like he stunners Paul E, you know, as a tribute to their time together in 92. But other than that, I mean, he's not going to do a match. I don't think. I think the match with Owens, the walk-in brawl, is a perfect tribute. I just there's what is What do you think? Let me ask you that. Do you think that there's something to this, or do you think it's just, you know, the usual, hey, they've reached out to him and he's deciding if he wants to do something or not?
This time it feels a little bit more than him just coming out to read attendance figures. Maybe he gets involved in something. Like I could easily see Steve Austin getting involved in something related to Cody Rhodes, for maybe like a motivational aspect or just for a TV segment here and there. Maybe something with Roman Reigns, maybe something with CM Punk.
A big check from Saudi Arabia to appear. I could see him going for that.
Could do something with the Royal Rumble. And I mean, if he was going to come back and do some type of match, the Royal Rumble is probably the match he could probably do. And just,
yeah,
you know, someone throw him out and get the rub that they threw out Steve Austin. The Royal Rumble being in Saudi Arabia throws a whole bunch of names that you would not usually say, oh, they might be able to come in for the Rumble. But I'm 50-50 on Goldberg showing up at the Rumble. I'm telling you right now that I'm still 50-50 on Goldberg coming in. The fact that it's in Saudi Arabia throws everything into question about who might actually be on that show.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going with. But yeah, I don't think there's much of anything to the Steve Austin. He might, you know, show up on Netflix for a segment on Raw, show up on USA, show up at one of the pay-per-views. Maybe he does something at WrestleMania. Maybe he's a guest referee. Maybe he's the outside enforcer for something because there's so much craziness going on. Be cool to see him do something with Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu's this wild man, right? And then the only one who will be able to contain Jacob Fatu is Stone Cold Steve Austin. 70-year-old Stone Cold is going to come rein in the Jacob Fatu-ness of Jacob Fatu.
Is there anything to my Ava theory or no?
Ava? No. I mean, when you say, is she going to get the call to like relieve her of her duties? No, I think she's going to be on NXT programming until she doesn't want to be, or until it doesn't matter to the family that she is.
Fair.
I don't think you can trust her doing anything else, to be honest.
Like, that's true.
Put her on the CW and taped vignettes is probably the most you can probably do with her right now. So yeah, I don't expect a whole lot going on there. I talk about Goldberg showing up to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
We've been talking for weeks that's probably the landing spot for Chris Jericho. If he is coming in, that's the night you do Chris Jericho. Now you have Will Hobbs, possibly. You have some of the other names who haven't, you know, the Mariah Mays of the world and the NXT names who haven't actually gotten a call might make an appearance, right? Is there anyone out there that you actually believe might show up at the Royal Rumble that we haven't talked about that wouldn't even necessarily have to be a major surprise? Just someone that, like, they're getting no... It could be Ricky Saints, right? Ricky Saints in the NXT title picture might show up.
Well,
at the show.
In Saudi Arabia, they've plugged some NXT names that weren't previously
on the posters outside.
Thea Hale, Lola Vice types, yeah, you know.
And I could see some of them coming in for the Royal Rumble. I don't necessarily think these are spoilers. I think this is just a whole bunch of pictures of people who are in the Rumble pool, if you will.
Okay.
And because you're going to, NXT names aren't a surprise to me. There are always NXT names. Now, you don't know who they're going to be all the time, but the fact that there are NXT actual roster members going to be in this match is not a surprise. And it could be Thea Hale. It may not be Thea Hale, but putting them on the poster to me is not a spoiler.
I think there's a few people that could be there, and they're mostly in that TNA realm or used to be. Like, I think the Iconics could be in this Royal Rumble.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think now that they've left, I think Dolph Ziggler could very easily be in this Royal Rumble if they wanted him to be. But other than that, I mean, major surprises that would make me drop my jaw. The only guy that would make me drop my jaw at this point, if he appeared at the Royal Rumble, would be Kevin Owens. And that's not going to happen, I don't think.
Yeah, it's way too early for Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Owens ain't.
Cena. John Cena would surprise me.
John Cena would be very surprising, considering we're all believing him that he is done. I don't know why it's him of all the guys that have ever retired that we believe. I think most of us believe Shawn Michaels, and then he did one more match. Guess where that was? Saudi Arabia. But no, Kevin Owens ain't going to wrestle this year, this calendar year. So he's definitely not coming back in January of this calendar year. One of the other things, just to maybe close out the WWE side of our discussion, is AJ Styles appearing tonight on WWE SmackDown. He was invited Whether that means he's probably going to wrestle somebody. I mean, he's going to wrestle somebody on the SmackDown side. He's got to get a match in, maybe one more match before the Royal Rumble, because we talked about some of these things. We're excited about the Royal Rumble. It's going to be Gunther, the career killer, the legend killer, going up against AJ Styles with AJ Styles' career on the line. Is this it for AJ by the end of this month?
I've thought about this and I've gone both ways, because I think it might, it's very possible that the Royal Rumble match is a screw job of some kind, for where it's like not a clean finish or it's a disputed finish. So it's like, well, he's not really retiring here. He'll retire at Mania or something like that. But I could also just see, oh yeah, screw it, I'm done. See you later.
I mean, there's people out there that think they know that his contract is up in February, right? So if he signed originally for January Royal Rumble, maybe it goes all the way through January and he's free and clear in February. He's talked about how it was his most recent re-signing was the last contract he would ever sign. Does that include any type of extension to go till WrestleMania? I can very well see AJ getting the big win at Royal Rumble, but then there's a next level to this where Gunther gets the rematch back with the career on the line, where maybe Gunther has to put something up too. So it's a tit for tat, and that is a big main event for WrestleMania, and AJ is able to get the Shawn Michaels kind of goodbye at WrestleMania. So I would be a little bit surprised if AJ actually loses at Royal Rumble and he's done. What are the chances in your mind where once he finishes with WWE, does he work a match here or there somewhere else? Does he go back to New Japan for a big match? Does he somehow end up in AEW? Is AJ Styles done when he's done with WWE?
I think stateside he's done. I know that there have been some feelers from AEW because they really wanted him at before this last contract even.
Yeah.
But I could see him like doing this year's G1. And then that being it, you know, get that last run in Japan, say goodbye to Japan and go back. I do think he wants to not wrestle stateside full time. I think his kids are at that age where he wants to watch their sports and stuff.
I think he is done full time when he leaves. But those big matches here and there, because again, this is a guy that spent much of his career in other companies, the last 10 in WWE. So, I mean, he hasn't been a lifer, but he's been a long stalwart.
He could be a Saudi Arabia only guy for WWE, and he'd be happy to take that money for his kids' college funds. And
but yeah, I mean, a big let's face it. I mean, New Japan is going to need Tokyo Dome main events because they're losing everybody. So send out a call to AJ Styles for one match on January 4th next year. I could see that happening.
Hey, AJ, how'd you like to replace Evil? Oh, sure.
But they've lost Tanahashi. Okada isn't walking through that door every night. Yeah. They lost Naito. They're losing Evil. Yeah, it may not be that big of a name, but it's still a big name that's going away. So,
let's put it this way. Yeah. To answer your question, I don't think he's going to be the Wrestling Observer subscriber fanboy type of things where he goes to AEW because he wants his 5-star matches for his legacy or whatever against Omega and Ospreay and whatnot. I don't think he's going to be that guy.
No, I don't. The career of AJ Styles after he's done with WWE could be interesting because, yeah, I could very well see him as a guy that just goes away and doesn't come back for anything. But if New Japan's going to offer him $500,000 to $1,000,000 for one match.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If AEW is going to offer him $500,000 to work 3 dates a year with the allure of a potential match against someone like Adam Copeland or Bryan Danielson or Kenny Omega.
I guess how he's talked about his treatment in WWE, I don't think he wants to ruffle those feathers. I don't think it's going to be a business is business type of thing.
True. Sometimes people think the allure, would he really want to leave because one day he might be put in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Or does he want to, You know, is that strong enough? Does the one night payoff of being in the WWE Hall of Fame, is that enough maybe to keep someone from going to an AEW? Because it didn't for Adam Copeland.
Yeah, but Adam Copeland had other things he wanted to do. He wanted to be, you know,
and
he
Adam
wanted
was to already work with... Adam was already in the Hall of Fame, right? But like, that's the example. It's like, it's still, I'm not just talking about the Hall of Fame. I'm talking about those TV kind of deals or anything that could happen in the WWE sphere.
Right, right. Well, I get you. But remember, Copeland, you know, was with the Asheville crew, you know, FTR, and he had Christian Cage had decided he had some left in him. And so it was fun for him and wasn't really going to hurt him with WWE if he went. It's just like, hey, you've gotten everything you can out of me. I'm coming here to just do this kind of vanity run with my friends and stuff like that. AJ, I mean, if there's monetary considerations, it's you know, those Legends deals don't pay that bad, to be honest with you there. And sure, you could get six figures from Tony Khan and go to, but he'd have to go to TV every week. You know, he'd have to do banger after banger after banger like Copeland did. And Copeland's body broke down because he had to do banger after banger after banger. It's
interesting, too, that you say, like, AJ, go with his friends. AJ is famously kind of a loner. He's kind of like a Brock Lesnar type, honestly.
Yeah.
It's not like he would go to AEW to work with his friends. He would go to AEW if they pay him to go work there for what he wants to do.
Right, but... would he make more money and would he be more elevated
maybe
than
more
he is
money
in WWE?
Maybe more money through appearance. Again, if he's only wants to work three dates a year, what's your option? It's New Japan, it's TNA, or it's AEW.
Right. Or it's whatever. WWE doesn't have him on the front burner just for when he has angles and stuff. He's there every week.
I guess. That's true. I guess. The only way that would work for WWE, though, is I'm just going on the assumption that Gunther will beat him at some point.
Okay.
And under the stipulation that his career is over. So I'm like, well, WWE is kind of out because they're already putting it up that he's not coming back to work for them to wrestle.
All right. Here's
so I'm going with that assumption.
Here's the way I could see him in AEW. He does that whatever New Japan matches he goes. And he goes, you know what? I'm really kind of liking this phase of me again. What can you offer me, Tony? And I'll come in and do a limited run with you. I could see that. Because you're right. He's notoriously a loner. He's notoriously contrarian at times. So
contrarian about all types of things.
Oh,
fears about all types of things. The other issue I present is when he was doing the G1 schedule and the New Japan and the heavy hitting main event matches, you know, once per week, sometimes three times per week. He was in his 30s. In 2 years, this guy's going to be 50.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think those matches are happening again anytime soon for him. They haven't. I mean, what's his most hard hitting match lately? It was John Cena, and John Cena wasn't going through the paces himself either.
Right.
That AJ Styles is gone. Him coming in to work a few dates and maybe, you know, matches more like his Undertaker main event, right, at WrestleMania, where it's not really based on in-ring skill. It's based on whatever story we're gonna tell out there. It's kind of like this match with Gunther, although I could see him going all out with Gunther when it eventually is the end. But yeah, I mean, in June of next year, he's going to be 50 years old. So I don't see the heavy hitting main events.
I don't see a Kenny Omega banger in his future. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would be one of the guys where if AJ Styles was coming into AEW, you'd want to see him go up against Kenny Omega. And it's Kenny Omega too. Kenny Omega isn't going 30 minutes like he was in New Japan, like he was at the start of AEW. Kenny Omega not doing that much either. Even though he said recently he's all the way back. And those matches might happen a little bit more regularly, especially if he gets in that world title picture. We didn't get too much new clarity on that from Dynamite this week. MJF is the champion. They had Brody King, of all people, come out. And I guess he's the next guy to just lose a match as they're waiting for someone to be available for MJF, whether it's Hangman Page, whether it's Swerve Strickland, whether it's Kenny Omega. But all these three guys came out last week on Dynamite, said we're in the title picture, and then they just kind of went away from the title picture.
You cannot tell me that Brody King is a world champion caliber wrestler. And I know there's a lot of AEW fans that want that, but he came out there. That promo stunk. After MJF's great promo. MJF cut a great championship promo that I've been waiting for a guy from AEW to cut for a long time. And Brody just comes out there, does his monotone thing when all he really needed to do was bark and scare MJF. And I'm just like, this is not a guy you can make your world champion. I don't understand that part of the fan base. Like, just because they like Brody King and some, I don't get this.
AEW has a problem that WWE absolutely, of all the strength WWE has, their biggest strength right now is a main event roster full of promo guys.
Yes.
Like, you can trust one of seven guys to go out there. Including AEW's best promo, Bron Breakker. I mean, they have just a stable of promo guys. The big problem with AEW right now is they have two, and it's Samoa Joe and it's MJF.
It is. And all the sickos will tell you, well, we just watch it for the wrestling. I go, that's great. But you're still going to be a second tier product after that.
But when you watch it just for the wrestling, this is what, I mean, the main event of Dynamite this week is the perfect encapsulation of, like, yeah, maybe if they were actually involved in some type of story, Kevin Knight versus Swerve Strickland would have been super cool and could be a pay-per-view match. But you're just throwing it out there with no time on Dynamite and then making Kevin Knight seem like he can be at times a world beater or a guy that can surprise people. And maybe that's so, but what's the context for him to do that against Swerve Strickland right now? And why is Swerve Strickland doing this match? Yeah, I guess they got to win matches to go up against MJF. You can't just say I'm the challenger. But this is so indirect that you can't make a direct connection between why that main event was happening.
Not just that, but they've been hyping the two big wins at both Speedball Bailey and Kevin Knight gotten that Continental Classic thing over Kyle Fletcher and whoever Kevin Knight beat. I forgot who he beat at this point.
Those are such great wins. Such great
that,
wins.
And now
Kevin.
They lose. Yeah, and now
sure
you
would
can't
be,
use
sure
that
would be
anymore.
A shame. Sure would be a shame if it was your last win. Sure would be a shame. What's and your finisher, also, Kevin Knight? Yeah. Oh, you don't have one because you never win. Okay.
And then it's just mostly get Adam Page over as a dick heel. Can you help me with a strategy with Swerve? That'll be a heck of a match.
that Kevin Knight Swerve match went 15 minutes over, right? And it wasn't until the final 2 minutes that, I mean, I was like, why is it still going on? Can I get on with my night here? I want to be done with this show, please. And it's still going. And then the last 2 minutes were cool. I mean, some of the Kevin Knight moves, like, oh, will he actually pull it off? But you know damn well right now, this is why context matters. This is why storylines matter. In some instances, there might have been a situation where I'm like, Kevin Knight could pull this out.
Right.
But not last night. Not for that.
Unless you're going to turn Swerve full on heel, which I was half expecting after a pile driver on the barrier.
Yeah, he's got to do a little bit more. And to me, I think there's still, as much as I don't want to see Paige versus Swerve anymore, I think there's still at some point where one of the three, whether that's Paige, probably not Paige, whether that's Omega, probably not Omega, whether that's Swerve, most likely a Swerve, at some point has to screw the other two to get at the front of the line. And if that were to happen, then you have two heels going at it again with MJF.
Right.
I love it because I love Fightful. I love Sean Ross Sapp. I love some of the.
We both worked for Fightful for a while, so of course we love them. Yeah.
I love how most people get into these awards, whether it's the Wrestling Observer Awards and the Hall of Fame, whether it's the Fightful Awards. But when you deal with fan voting of a certain subsect of wrestling, you're going to get craziness and chaos and absolutely unearned praise like AEW is the best booked promotion.
Yeah. And they're gonna sweep the Observer Awards too. So yeah.
They might, but OMG did I laugh. Because of all the times, best on microphones. I mean, some of these awards were like, well, this is a WWE year for sure, because one, AEW has no promo guys, and WWE, everyone's a promo guy. Oh, Chad Gable. Chad Gable, promo of the year. Ludwig Kaiser, promo of the year. Gunther, promo of the year. So many of these, and you're giving it to, I think, Hangman Page? What is happening here?
You know what that is? That was a Dave Meltzer thing where he goes, that promo was really good. I think he should be getting promo of the year. It's like, get the F out of here with Hangman Page being promo of the year.
It is unfortunate. One of the worst promo guys that AEW has at the top in a long time, and that's in a promotion with Kenny Omega, is Hangman Page. And then Jon Moxley, who is awesome, but he really needs the crowd to be into what he's saying for it not to come off as so aloof and goofy and like just weird. And when they're not into it, that's what it comes off like. And unfortunately, much of 2025, that's what Jon Moxley was doing. I am always excited to see how the readers of all these websites, because I read the websites, but I'm not like that invested to where I'm voting for anything. Like I had a Hall of Fame vote for Wrestling Observer and I did it 2 years. And then I was like, I'm done with this. I'm just tired of it. And no disrespect to them. It's just not for me, but that's who's really invested in some of these awards. And that's where you end up with the best promo in the company being Adam Page.
It's like Samoa Joe is still there, guys. I mean, he's
Samoa Joe is still there.
Guys.
Bron Breakker is still there. Who's some Punk. Underrated? Well, I'm talking about WWE. Well, yeah, in any company, yes, Punk, Bron Breakker, but specifically in AEW, I would put Bron Breakker ahead of Adam Page. Mark Briscoe has made people get more invested in matches that shouldn't have been gotten invested in.
Kyle O'Reilly was cutting better promos than Adam Page was this year.
Let's talk about Mariah May. Mariah May was in the company more than half of the year. I would have probably put her up there.
Toni Storm, even possibly.
Toni Storm right back there with her. So there's we're in for some change. 2026 could be better. Obviously, they have a little bit more momentum right now. I will say the shows have gotten better. Last week, we called it one of the more focused and best shows that AEW's done in a while. This show was fine. I mean, Wednesday night wasn't bad in my mind. It just there were some questions there for sure. But we'll see with all these talent fluctuations. Another night where I don't think we had anything the Rascals last night. It looks like they might be coming in and being Collision based here for a little bit.
Yeah, three of the four.
Three of the four, Trey Miguel. By the time most of you hear this, Trey Miguel may have already returned to TNA. It looks like he's at TNA tonight. So,
oh, really? Okay.
Trey Miguel's break from wrestling may have lasted 1 week, and he might be back here. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of TNA, Mike Santana, who is your new TNA world champion, went on record. This is, I don't know about you, Jeff, but in the world of sports, my favorite pastime when you're getting ready for a season, this happens in baseball, this happens in football, is the article that comes out that says so-and-so is in the best shape of his life. That is one of the sports. Oh, that's one of my favorite sports tropes. It's like, oh, after two bad years, you know what? Clayton Kershaw is feeling the best he's ever felt. This isn't exactly that. This right here is not exactly that, but it's in that same vein. And it is the professional wrestler that goes out and does an interview saying that our current roster is the best it's ever been. And that is what Mike Santana did this week, calling the TNA roster the best roster TNA has ever had.
The main event mafia would like a word about that.
Where's Kurt Angle? Is Kurt Angle there? AJ Styles did an appearance last week. I get you, but he's not on the roster. There was a time, Jeff Hawkins, where the TNA roster had Christian Cage, Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, and a whole host of others all at the same time. There's not one person in TNA right now that would be above any of them.
This is like after having like a mediocre draft. We're really happy with where we are right now. This season.
That's another one. I love the draft trope where it's like, oh, we filled every need. When the GM comes out saying we filled every need we had. Good on him. You know, what are you supposed to? You're the champion of this brand. You want to put over the brand. I get that you want to put it over.
Yeah.
But I do find it a little bit interesting. And it's hard to do when you're a company of 20 years. At this point, is like being the best you've ever been right now versus when there was a whole lot more money put into the company. It's going to be a little bit of a tough sell.
Well, when you're the champion, you also have to do that. See, the roster is the best it's ever been, and I'm the champion. Ergo, The company is stronger than it's ever been.
Who's the Abyss?
Who is the Abyss?
Hey, everybody. My name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.